Hello and welcome to the Muni Lowdown. My name is Paul Graves and I'm the managing editor for Detwild Municipals. Today's podcast title is COVID Coffers. I'm joined by Kunal Kamal, a journalist on our team and recurring podcast contributor who will provide an overview of the spending of pandemic relief aid for state and local governments. Kunal, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me again.
So, Kunal, I'm looking forward to today's podcast because we're going to talk about the pandemic. And I just want to set the contours of the discussion so that we're all on the same page. Number one, I just want to define what a pandemic is. And that's a widespread outbreak of an infectious disease over a large geographic area. And obviously, when we're talking about COVID-19, back on March 11th of 2020, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 as a pandemic. And if we fast forward to May 5th of this year, the World Health Organization declared that COVID-19 was no longer seen as a public health emergency threat of international concern. Now, while it's unlikely we'll ever get a date of when the pandemic is over, it does provide us some milestones to examine an allocation of funding that was done by the federal government. Back in 2021, the American Rescue Plan Act, we'll refer to it as ARPA, was passed, and funds were allocated to tribal governments, states, the District of Columbia, local governments, and U.S. territories. Their purpose? To alleviate the wide-ranging costs resulting from the health and economic impacts of COVID-19. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the Government Accountability Office, also known as the GAO, released a report on their key findings on these allocations as of March 31st, 2023. So, Kunal, can you delve further into some of the key takeaways from that report?
So, Paul, through the State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund under ARPA, a total of $350 billion was allocated to state and local governments. Of that, about $195 billion were allocated to states and DC, while about $130 billion was for localities, which includes about 30,000 counties, metropolitan cities, and smaller local governments. Of the remaining amount, about $20 billion was distributed to tribal governments and $4.5 billion to U.S. territories. So as of March 31 this year, states reported obligating 60% of their fiscal recovery fund awards, but had spent only about 45%. Meanwhile, local governments reported spending about 38% after having obligated about only 54%. So that means overall, states are yet to spend about $107 billion and local governments still have about $81 billion in their coffers. Along with that, there is also wide disparities among governments in terms of spending level, with six states reporting spending more than 75% of their COVID awards. But at the same time, there are 15 states which have reported spending less than 25% of the funds that they have received. So on one hand, you have states like Minnesota and Alaska, which each reported spending larger share of their awards, about 95% and 91%, while Oklahoma and South Carolina reported spending the smallest shares, which is like about less than 1% to 2% respectively. Coming to localities, out of about 29,000 localities, about 26,410 localities submitted project and expenditure reports. And of these 26,000 odd localities, 1,100 cities and 3,000 counties accounted for the 85% of the total awards. And the remaining 15% was distributed among smaller governments, those typically serving populations less than 50,000 and also referred to as non-entitlement units of local government. Combined, these localities reported obligating 54% of their awards and spending 38% of the funds that they had received as of March 31. Now, interestingly, about 5% of the cities and 7% of the counties reported obligating none of their awards as of yet. Similarly, about 6% of the cities and 8% of the counties have spent none of these monies that they have received so far. In fact, more than 40% of the cities and counties have spent less than 25% of the grants that they have received. But on the other hand, about a fifth of cities and counties have spent more than 75% of the federal funds that they have received.
So broadly speaking, at least through March of this year, state and local governments still have billions of unspent and unallocated COVID relief funds. They have until December 31st of 2024 to obligate these funds, and they must spend them by December 31st, 2026. And while it remains to be seen how these governments decide to spend these remaining dollars, we do have some insight as to how they have spent the funds so far. Kunal, tell us a little bit more.
Paul, the GOA report basically categorizes spending in 7 broad categories. The largest of these categories is revenue replacement, which is basically the funds allocated for providing government services to the extent of a reduction in revenue during the pandemic. Another major categorization was the funds spent to respond to the negative economic impacts of the pandemic on households, small businesses, industries, etc. Then we have infrastructure spending as the third category, which includes investments to improve access to clean water, as well as wastewater and stormwater infrastructure and broadband access. And the remaining categories were public health spending, public sector capacity, premium pay, and administrative expenses. Now, according to Treasury guidance, of the 7 spending categories, revenue replacement provided recipients with the most flexibility in their use of the pandemic relief funds. So naturally, this is where the most of the funds spent went, both for states, which is about 45% of the spent amount, and localities, with 68% of the funds spent on revenue replacement. Under this category, recipients were allowed to use their funds to cover a broad range of government services, which is basically any service traditionally provided by a government, up to the amount of revenue loss experienced during the pandemic. Now, among states, California reported the highest amount spent on individual revenue replacement projects, totaling $16.7 billion, which was for restoring state employee pay cuts and funding public programs, among other things. Meanwhile, 7 states did not spend any funds to replace revenue. Now, coming to localities, which is basically cities and counties, reported allocating more than 2/3 of their spending to revenue replacement projects. But the amounts, scope, and the purposes of these projects varied widely across localities. They ranged from a high of $1.6 billion in New York City for correction, sanitation, and emergency medical services, among other things, to a low of less than $50 in like 65 localities. Nonetheless, some of this spending, at least on the surface, seems like discretionary spending rather than revenue replacement. So, for example, the report states Godin County in Idaho spent about $2.3 million to expand heating, ventilation, air conditioning for county jail and county courthouse.
So, apart from these revenue replacement projects, where do the major chunks of remaining funds go?
All funds allocated to combating negative economic impacts of the pandemic were the second largest category for states as well as cities and counties. Those states allocated about 43% of the spending for that. Counties and cities only categorized about 14 to 15% of their spending as such. For states, most of the spending under this category was for providing assistance to households, especially through contributions to state unemployment insurance trust funds. Specifically speaking, 24 states have reported spending more than $22 billion of their coronavirus relief funds on contributing to state unemployment insurance funds, with Texas alone accounting for around $7 billion. So overall, revenue replacement and negative economic impacts accounted for most of the spending, while the other 5 categories accounted for a combined of about 12 to 20% of spending for various government types.
So obviously, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars, and certainly compliance and fraud come up as potential issues. So let's first deal with compliance. Were there any compliance issues raised by the GAO report?
Yes, Paul. So there is a concern in terms of reporting and compliance because approximately 14% of localities failed to submit the required reports to Treasury on their use of the fiscal recovery funds through March 31, 2023. This reporting non-compliance raises questions about transparency and accountability. So what has happened, while all states and the 26,000 odd localities submitted a project and expenditure report with spending as of March 31, around 4,300 localities with a collective of $3 billion in coronavirus grants did not submit the required report. Further analysis shows that about 2,100 of these localities had not submitted a report in the previous reporting cycle as well. Now, the Treasury has power to impose penalties even as returning funds to the Treasury for failure to submit the expenditure reports after repeated notices. And as of August 23 this year, the Treasury had sent notices of non-compliance to about 3,500 localities who had not submitted a project and expenditure report. However, largely speaking, these non-compliant entities are smaller government units rather than cities or counties.
So let's move on to fraud. What's the story there?
So, Paul, while the recent GAO report does not touch upon fraud or misappropriation, in February, it said that there is evidence of substantial levels of fraud and potential fraud in unemployment insurance during the pandemic. Additionally, federal and state oversight work has shown that fraud in pandemic-related unemployment programs was rampant. And while the total amount of fraud is unknown, since April 2021, just 23 states have reported estimates that total more than $60 billion. This is interesting because a huge chunk of funds allocated by states to combat the negative economic impacts of the pandemic went towards contributing to the state and unemployment insurance funds. And this has affected them severely. Take, for example, Mississippi, where state auditor's team estimates that at least $590 million was misspent between FY20 and FY21 in fraudulent unemployment claims. And then, Paul, of course, there is the debate of questionable use of these funds. Various state and local audits of government agencies have shown a lack of internal controls over how the pandemic relief funds were used. For example, an audit of Arizona Commerce Authority said that it spent about more than $2 million on hosting private CEO forums, reportedly to market Arizona companies, and was found to be at an increased risk of fraud and waste of public monies because it did not properly verify businesses which have provided $11 million in incentives. Then there is the widely reported example of Cuyahoga County Council, which approved $4 million in COVID stimulus money to build a clubhouse and community center at a golf course. There are several other similar examples where spending seems to be dubious.
There's a lot more information on the pandemicoversight.gov website around these specific audits and these cases of fraud that Kunal is bringing up. So there's definitely some good things that have come out of having this pandemic relief aid, but it certainly also seems like there are some things to monitor. So the Corona State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds have been a lifeline for communities facing the repercussions of the pandemic. And understanding their allocation, utilization, and challenges they pose are essential. And we hope to keep everyone informed in future episodes. Kunal, I want to thank you for your valuable insights. We'll certainly continue to monitor what's happening with these funds over the next couple of years. To our audience, I hope you found this podcast to be informative. Please support us by liking, sharing, or subscribing to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until the next time, thanks for joining us on the Muni Lowdown.